All right. Baruch Hashem. Let's start it up. Today's daf is daf Tzadi Vav. We are actually on Tzadi Vav. We'll finish the 10th parak today and start the 11th parak. So the Gemara is just continuing from where it was yesterday. Yesterday the Gemara mentioned that if you have a kli, the kli gets a hole in it, the amount, the size of which liquid could leave the kli, right? It's that the liquid could just come out. There's a distinction between different types of kli cheres. If it is a full kli cheres, right? Or if it's a gistera, which is a piece. So if it was a kli cheres shalem, if it's a full kli cheres that gets the hole in it, we say that that does not cause... I got an echo. My quick guys put himself on mute. I know. I'm hearing an echo. Seems to be an echo. Everyone on mute? Better? Yes, you go on mute. Okay. You hear better? Hopefully. I can't hear you, but okay. So there was a distinction made between... thanks, Nick. There was a distinction made between the different types of kli cheres. If it was a full kli cheres that has a hole in it, then the kli does not become batel from its din of a kli, and therefore it's still be kavol tumah. But if it was a gistera, if it was a shard, so if it has that small hole, it becomes batel from the din of a gistera, and therefore it's not going to be a kavol tumah anymore. So Amar Rav Asi. Rav Asi says, Shonin, we discussed in the Brice, we just mentioned, that kli cheres shi'uro bekones mashka. How you mevatel the kli cheres is if it has enough, a hole big enough for water to come into it. Velo amru motzi mashka, and the size of a hole that has enough, that's big enough for liquid to go out from it, the motzi mashka, that's elin yinin gistera belvad. That's only from a gistera. My timer. What's the difference? Why is there a difference that a shear can be mevatel the gistera? So my timer. Amar zutcha b'raydu Rav Nachman. We don't bring a gistera, a shard, to protect a shard. Meaning, if you get a small hole in the bottom of a cup, so you'll put a saucer, you put a plate underneath, you'll put some sort of shard underneath it to protect it. But if that saucer itself, which is only used to protect something else, then gets that small hole, you're not going to bring a saucer to protect a saucer. You're not going to bring a gistera to protect a gistera. Therefore, the smaller shear of motzi mashka will be mevatel the gistera from having a shame kli. Okay, Amra Ula, right? So now Ula said, "Pliga b'trei amaroi b'marava." There's a machlokas about two amaroim in the west, meaning Eretz Yisrael. What's the machlokas about? Rashi says, "Behechsher zroim," meaning the machlokas here is discussing the case of an atzitz nakov, right? It's a hold pot, right? You have a pot that's in the air; it's not on the ground. You have an atzitz nakov, and it has a hole. The question is, at what size hole do we view this pot as being connected to the ground? Nafkamina being, if the pot is connected to the ground, that means if water falls over anything that's in the pot, it will not be hukshal kabal tumah, because something can only become hukshal kabal tumah if it's separated from the ground. So how large of a hole is necessary in order for this pot to be considered connected and therefore not susceptible to tumah? So Amr Ula, Pliga Batrei Amaroi B'marava, Rabbi Yossi B'Rabbi Avin, Rabbi Yossi Bar Zavda, Chad Amar Kemotze Rimon. One says you need a really, really big shear, the size of that would, a pomegranate would fall through. So if you have a pot that's open, that's hanging in the air, you have this hanging pot, if it has a hole the size of that a pomegranate can fall through, then it's considered connected to the ground, and then if water fell on it, it would make a difference, it wouldn't be hukshal kabal tumah. The Chad Amar, and the other Mandamar says, no, it's kishorish katan. It's the small little shear, the amount that it would take for a little root. If it was if the hole was big enough for a little root to come out from it, that would be enough to show that the atzis is connected to the ground, and halachically connected to the ground. The simanach, and how do you know the simanim? Echad habarnbeh beechad hamamit. One is large, one is small. It's taking paraphrasing from the Gemara Menachos that talks about karbanos. It's echad hamarnbeh beechad hamamit uvachi kavin libo de shemayim. But here he's saying that these shiurim are the largest and smallest shiurim that we had discussed previously. The largest shiur being the size a hole big enough for a pomegranate to come through. The smallest shiur being the size of a for a small little root to come through. So those are the two extreme views. So they take the extreme views of how big of a hole does the pot in the pot, how big of a hole in the pot does it have to be in order for the pot to be considered mechubar likarka. Okay, finishing up this whole thing. Amar Rabbi Chinuna Bar Kahana Mishmeid Rabbi Lezer Kli Cheres. A Kli Cheres, right? A earthenware vessel in that's used for holding food items. So what whole size hole is big enough to say that it's no longer considered a kli and therefore is not mekabel tuma? Shiuro kimotzi zesim. If it has a hole the size that an olive can come out, I'm assuming the olive here means an actual olive, not olive size that people eat for Pesach, but some people do. An olive, if it's an olive, can fall through. That's the hole. That size hole would make it batel and therefore no longer susceptible to tuma. Well, I was being facetious. Umar Kashisa of Rei D'Rava, and Mar Kashisa, the son of Rava, Misayim Ba Mishmeid Rabbi Lezer, he said his name Rabbi Lezer, V'arei hen kikli glolim, v'kli avonim, u'kli adama. So if the clay cheres gets this size hole in it, now it's equivalent to kli glolim, which are clay glolim made out of kalim made out of manure, the kli avonim or stone kalim or kli adama, that were just kli adama just means that, as opposed to kli cheres, kli adama are just not put in the kiln, so they don't have fire, they're not burnt, they're not warmed in the kivshon. She'ei mekabel tuma lo midivrei Torah v'lo midivrei sofrim. They can no longer be susceptible to tuma, whether it's from divrei Torah or divrei sofrim. Once you get this hole the size of an aleph. But they point out that this argues on Rava. Rava yesterday said that even if you have a kli cheres that gets the hole the size of a rimonim, if you're machshivit, if you have in mind that it's still going to be a hole rimonim, then it still could be mekabel tuma. Right here we're saying once it gets the size of an olive, it's already like kli gulalim, and it's not going to be mekabel tuma at all. Uli inyan summit pasiel, and we mentioned at the end of yesterday's daf, how big of a hole, let's say you have a kli cheres that's covered on top, and it's in the house of a mace, how big of a hole in the side is going to be mevatel the covering so that the tumah is still going to go into the kli cheres? It's ad sheyipaches rubo, up to the rove. Once it reaches a rove, you have a hole of a rove, then there's no longer going to be protected by the covering on the top. Okay, hajjan alacha matzniach, hajjan alacha matzniach, hajjan alacha matzniach. Now the Mishnahs go back to discuss our favorite topic, Hotzah. Right? Hotzah is the pigle of Masechta Shabbos. It's just constant repeated, but this is maybe, I mean, from a discussion standpoint, this is really the last parak that focuses on Hotzah. So the Mishnah is going to bring us some rules, some of which we're familiar with, but let's just remember a few things. Number one, you're only chayav for Hotzah if you did an Akira and chayav meaning a karban, or if you did a b'shogeg, if you did an Akira and a Hanacha, you had to pick it up and place it down. If you did one or the other, it's Pater of a Lasser. Right, now not do that, but it's Pater. And then remember our four Rishuyos, we have Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim, Carmelis, and a Makom Ptur. So And you only chayev midoraisa if you take from one rishus to another rishus, from rishus ha-yachid to rishus ha-rabim, and you also the idea of being ma'vir, of walking something four amos in the rishus ha-rabim. So the Mishnah says the first case, hazorek me rishus ha-yachid to rishus ha-rabim. So here you're not walking it, you're not carrying it, you're tossing something. You're standing in rishus ha-yachid, and right, rishus ha-yachid, and you throw it into the rishus ha-rabim. Or rishus ha-rabim, you're standing in rishus ha-rabim, and you throw it into the rishus ha-yachid, chayev. The Mishnah says that you're chayev because a zrika, throwing something, is going to be considered a tolda of hotzah. Next case is one standing on. I'm on a rishus hayachid, and I throw something. May rishus hayachid, live rishus hayachid. I throw it to another rishus hayachid. The rishus harabim beemtza. I take something and I throw it from one side of the rishus hayachid to another side of the rishus hayachid with the rishus harabim in between. So I throw it over the rishus harabim. So that case. Rabbi Akiva says you're chayiv, v'chachamim potrin, and the chachamim say you're potter. Why? Rava explained earlier on, Rava, I think Nafdali said that the machlokas in the Rabbi Akiva and the chachamim is the concept of kluto kuhun chodami. When something's traveling in the air, how do we view it? Do we view it and we basically freeze frame it every second? So according to Rabbi Akiva, if you freeze frame every second, so every second it's now frozen over the Rosh Hasharabim. So I threw it from Rosh HaYachid to Rosh HaRabim, I'm going to be chayiv. Whereas Chacham say, no, we view it as, you know, the object's in motion. All objects are in motion until they come to rest. And it doesn't come. Where does it come to rest? It came to rest in the Rosh HaYachid. Therefore, you would be patur because you went from Rosh HaYachid to Rosh HaYachid. That's the machlokis. Now, the Gemara Mishnah has the words ketzad. Ketzad is difficult, as Tosfos points out, because ketzad seems to be saying that we're giving an example of what we just discussed. But this really isn't an example because this is not the same halacha. Because here, the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim are whether or not you threw something and it would, and when it was traveling in the air, it was less. It was 10 tefachim or less over the air. Because above 10 tefachim, it's not a Rishus HaRabim. You just have to remember that also. Rishus HaYachid is Ola L'Rakia. Rishus HaRabim only is 10 tefachim high. So what's the case that Mishnah mentions now? Shtei Gizuz Taros. So you have two, I would say, porches, right? You have two ledges that are coming out from a house. Shtei Gizuz Taros. Zo Keneged Zo B'Rishus HaRabim. So you have two porches that extend out of an apartment, I guess, and they over and on either side of Rishus HaRabim. Hamoshit v'hazorik mizo lezo pater. If you extend something to the other Rishus and he grabs it, or you toss it to the other Rishus, that's going to be pater. Those are going to be pater because Rashi points out that, and the Mishnah points out, because that's not how they carried or they did things in the Mishkan. Everything's based on the Mishkan, and that's not how they did it in the Mishkan. But how you stay in b'diyuta achas. Let's say you had these two porches that are on the same side, right? They're not across the Rishus HaRabim. They're sort of on the same side, and underneath them, the Rishus HaRabim goes. They don't have to go across. I guess it's not, it's sort of that they're not, they're like behind each other, and the Rishus HaRabim comes in between. That, if they're biyuta achas, if they're in the same side of the Rishus HaRabim, but they're still, in other words, there's a thoroughfare running between, and in between also over here, there's a little bit of Rishus HaRabim. So therefore, in that case, Hamoshit Chayev Azorik Potter. If you hand from one to the other, you're going to be Chayev. But if you toss from one to the other, you're going to be Potter. Shekach Haisa Avodas HaLeviim. That was the Avodah of the Leviim. Shtei Alog Agolo Zo Achar Zo Bershus HaRabim. Umoshoitim HaKroshim Mizo Lozo Aval Lo Zorkim. Because when they used to travel with the Mishkan, what they would do is they would line up these wagons behind the Mishkan, and they would take the Kroshim, they would take the beams off the Mishkan, and they would... Somebody would hold them, and they would pass them from one agala. They wouldn't throw them because they're too heavy, I guess. They would pass them from one wagon, one carriage, I guess, to the other carriage, but not when they were across from each other, but only from when they were behind each other. And that's how they would do it. And that's the only way you're going to be chayav for this type of hotzah, because it has to be done exactly like it was done in the Mishka. How it was done in the Mishka. Tosos asked, until we just see the first Gemara. It says michtei zrika. We see now that Zrika from one to, that you're throwing something across Rishus HaRabim is going to be Chayiv, from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim is a Chayiv. That's a toldo de Hotzahi, but Hotzah gufa hecha ksiva. The Gemara asks, where do we see that in the Torah that Hotzah is Aser, is a malach that's Aser? And everybody asks, well, where do we see all the other malachas that are Aser? Why is Hotzah different? Why does Hotzah need a pasuk, the Gemara asks, and why does Hotzah need to be exactly the way it was done in the Mishkan? I mean, okay, so in the Mishkan, they pass the things off from one wagon to another with the Rishus HaRabim. So if I toss it, I should also be chayav and make that a tolta. Why does it have to be exact like it was done? The Shitoso says, he says, because it is a malacha gerua. Right? Since the beginning, we were saying that hotzah is a malacha gerua, and machlokes that means, but I always go with the pshat that nothing changes with the item. It just moves from one place to another. There's no inherent change in the item. Therefore, it's a lower level malacha. And if it's a lower level malacha, Tosfos says, therefore, every time we're going to try to learn out a din of hotzah, it has to be, have a precedent. It has to have some sort of precedent in the Mishkan. So first of all, we're going to need a pasuk to teach us about it. And second of all, we're going to need to be done exactly the way it was done in the Mishkan in order for it to be chayiv. So okay, let's just start again the Gemara. The Gemara says, Michtei Zrika Tolado Dotsahi. Mishnah discussed the case of where I'm standing with Shusha Yachid and I throw from the Shusha Yachid to Zerabim. That is a tolda of Hotzah. But the Gemara wants to know, where does it say, where is Hotzah itself mentioned that it's going to be Aser? So Amar Rav Yochanan says, the Amakra, as the pasuk says, this is towards the end when they were bringing all the gold and silver to the Mishkan. Moshe stands up and he says, "Vayitzav Moshe." Moshe commands, "Vayaviru kol b'machaneh," and he sends out a voice in the camp. More, the pasuk says, "Ish v'isha al yasu od melacha l'chumas hakodesh." They don't bring anymore. Vayikala al navi. They stop bringing. So the Gemara says, "Moshe heichan hava." Where was Moshe standing when he made this pronouncement? Yasu b'machaneh l'viya. He was standing in the camp of Levi. The camp of Levi, Machane Leviyah Rishus HaRabim Havei. Machane Leviyah is a Rishus HaRabim, because everybody would come to the Machane Leviyah, because that's where you go to see Moshe. You went to the Machane Leviyah. So the Machane Leviyah is Rishus HaRabim. Moshe standing in the Shusha Rabbim. Bekamer Lehu Yisrael, and Moshe tells Bnei Yisrael, Lo tapiku v'tesu me'Rishus Sarachim didchul Rishus Sarabim. Don't bring from your Rishus Yachid anymore into my Rishus Sarabim. Don't bring it anymore. That's how you learn it. So Gemara says, well, wait a second. Who says he's saying this on Shabbos? Well, maybe he said this on a Tuesday. Right? Umimai de b'Shabbos kai. You're telling me that Moshe told everybody to stop carrying from Rishus Yachim to Rishus Sarabim. But maybe Moshe told them because, you know why he told them? They had enough. Today was Tuesday. Stop bringing it in. There's no. Well, how do you know this was on Shabbos? Maybe Moshe is standing on a regular weekday. And why is he telling them not to bring from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim? Not because it's any malacha. It's Mishum Deshleimele malacha. Because we were done. We had enough. Right? Imagine that. You have an appeal in Shul and you say, there's enough. We don't need any more. So he said, I don't need any more. Right? Kedeksiv. Because as the Pasuk says, V'hamalacha ha'isad dayam. There was enough. So where's the raya about this being Shabbos? And where's the raya that this is all because of Malacha Votzah? Maybe this is during the week, and maybe this is maybe that he's set to stop because there was just enough, they didn't need anymore. So the Gemara says, no, yeah. Only if you're standing in a Rishus HaRabim. But to move from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim doesn't make a difference. You can be just from my doorstep to the outside, you're chayiv. The Dalet Amos is only Shema is Ma'avir Dalet Amos Pirish Sarabim. There's a difference that between that and Hotzah. Okay, so the Gemara said, right, Ma'at Shabbos. So the Gemara says, oh, how do I know what Shabbos? Gamar Ha'avara Ha'avara Miyom Kippurim. He says some sort of Gzeir Shava for the words Ha'avara. But here it says Vayaviru Kol B'Machane, Ksiv Hacha Vayaviru Kol B'Machane, V'Ksiv Hasam, and it says Vayom Kippur V'Ha'avarta Shofar Trua. Malahalim b'yom aser, just like there, talking about Yom Kippur, it's a day that's aser b'malacha. Afkan, so to here, b'yom aser. So to here, it's talking about a day that's aser b'malacha. So making Gezer Shavah, from there, it was a day that's aser b'malacha, to now, it's a day that's aser b'malacha. It's clearly not Yom Kippur, so it must be Shabbos. So therefore, Moshe is telling them, stop bringing your items from Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim, on Shabbos. So Gemara says, okay. Ashkechan Hotzah. So now I see that there's a malacha to bring from Rishus HaYachid into the Rishus HaRabim. That's Hotzah. Taking out from Rishus HaYachid into the Rishus HaRabim. But Hachnasa Minolan, how do I know that's also Aser to bring from the Rishus HaRabim, bring in from the Rishus HaRabim into the Rishus HaYachid? How do I know that's a malacha? Again, doesn't make sense. It should be logical. The Gemara says, yeah, Svarahi. It should be a Svara. Michte Mirishus L'Rishusu. You're bringing from one Rishus to another Rishus. Malia Puke Malia Ule. What's the difference if I'm bringing out of the Rishus HaYachid or bringing into the Rishus HaYachid? So there's no difference. The only difference is Hotzah Av. Bringing out from the Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, Hotzah is going to be considered the Av Malacha. And Hachnasa, bringing in from the Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid, is going to be the Tolada. That's going to be the Tolda. It's not going to be the Av, it's going to be the Tolda. So the Gemara says, okay, Umichde, Ahamechayev, Ahamechayev. Basically, Gemara asked the question, we've seen this a few times. What's the difference between an Av and a Tolda? This one you're chayev for, that one you're chayev for. So why is this considered Av and this considered a Tolda? What's the difference? So Gemara says, Nafkamina, the difference is the Avid Shtei Avos Bahadei Adadi, Inam Shtei Toladas Bahadei Adadi, Mechayev Tarte. If I do two separate Avs, I do Bishul and I do Zeria, I'm going to Mechayev two Korbanos, right? If I did it two, or if I do two Toladas, a Tolda of Bishul, a Tolda of this, I'm Chayev two. The Avid Av, a Tolda of the day, but if I do an Av and a Tolda of the same Malacha, Lo Mechayev Elachada, I'll only be Chayev only one carbon. So if I did Hotzah and Hachnasa, I'd only be chayav one carbon. Because I did an Av and a Tolda, I'd only be chayav one. I will Rabbi Lezer, the Mechayev, a Tolda, be Makom Av. Meaning I'll only be chayav one carbon. I still violate Shabbos twice. Okay, so will Rabbi Lezer, the Mechayev, a Tolda, Makom Av. What about Rabbi Lezer, who says, no, that a Tolda, if I do a Tolda and an Av of the same Malacha, I'm still chayav to bring carbonos. So what's the difference between an Av and a Tolda? Am I currently Av, am I currently Tolda? Why is one an Av and a Tolda? He goes, no, have to have the Mishkan Chashiva Karle Av. That's in the Mishkan is, I'm going to read this the way Tosus reads it. That was in the Mishkan is therefore considered Chashiv and it's considered an Av. Have to lo have the Mishkan Chashiva Lo Karle Av. If something was not in the Mishkan, it's not going to be considered as Chashiv and therefore it's not going to be considered an Av. Inami, or another reason, Hadiksive Kari Av, Hadiloksive Kari Tolda. Just the difference is whether it was written or not. If it's written down, it's an Av. If it's not written, it is a Tolda, which is interesting because most malachos are not written in the Torah. Very few are actually written. So that distinction I try find a little difficult because you don't have that many written in the Torah to begin with. Okay. Fine. Next. Now that the Gemara explained the source for the malacha of hotzah, right, which means was throwing from one rishus to another rishus. What about the idea that Joshua, you mentioned before, what about the idea of throwing something four amos in the rishus harabim? So we know that walking something four amos in the rishus harabim is chayev. What about if I'm standing in the rishus harabim and I throw it four amos in the rishus harabim? So v'haditna, and that's what we're going to see in a few days. Hazorek, you take an item and you throw it arba amos, you throw it four amos in the rishus harabim, and the kotel, and you have it stick to the wall. If when I threw it in the air, the item traveled above 10 tefachim from the ground, so right, like we said before, the Rishus HaRabim only extends 10 tefachim high, so if I throw it and it sticks 4 tefachim above the ground, then right, he says, that's as if I'm throwing it in the air. So if it sticks 10 tefachim, if it sticks on the wall 10 tefachim high, above 10 tefachim, I'm going to be putter. But lemata me'asar tvachim, that's kazorik ba'aretz. That's as if I threw it on the ground, and therefore I'm going to be chayev. Vazorik ba'aretz va'arba amos chayev. I throw something four amos. If I throw something four amos in Rishus HaRabim, I'm going to be chayev. So zamares zorik arba amos Rishus HaRabim minolam de'machayev. How do I know that I'm chayev? Again, if it's hotzah has to have a paradigm in the Mishnah. So Gemara says, Am Rav Yoshia, how do I know that throwing something four amos in Rishus HaRabim is chayev? Am Rav Yoshia, shekein orge yirios zorki machteim zelazeh. When they were the weavers of the covers, right? When those who were weaving the cover of the Mishkan, they would toss their needles one to another when they were sitting. Right, they were doing it in Machan Leviyah, which is Rishus HaRabim, and they would throw their needles one to the other. Therefore, you see, that's the malacha that was done in building the Mishkan. So the Gemara says, Organ, the weavers, Mechatin Lamalahu. Why would the weavers need needles? I guess the weavers use looms. What do they need in a needle? So he says, Ella Shekin Tofre Yerio Zorki Machtem Zelzeh. It was the stitchers. I guess at the end, after they had the loom, they would do the stitching. So the stitchers would toss their needles from one to the other. The Gemara says, wait a second, Vidil Magabi Hadadi Abiyase. Why are you telling me that they would have to throw it four amos? Maybe they sat next to each other and they just handed it one to another. So there's no raya about four amos. They just handed it one to another. So Gemara says, no, Matu Hadadi Bimchatin. I guess if they were standing too close to each other, they were stitching, they would prick each other. So they had to stand at a distance. Assumption means they stood. The Gemara says assumption they stood dalet amos. So okay, if they're at a distance, dilma betoch arba habiyasve. Maybe they just stood at a distance that was far enough that they wouldn't prick each other. But who says that distance was dalet amos? So I have no raya from here that you can't throw something dalet amos to sarabim because the stitchers maybe weren't standing dalet amos. So el amro chiz. Ella Amar of Chizda. So Chizda says, "What's the source?" Shekein orge yuriya zokin buchyar biyuriya. He says because the weavers would throw, and they think the buchyar is the shuttle, it's in the loom. They would throw the shuttle across the loom, and it would go. The loom, I guess, was dalet amos. The loom is standing in the Rishus HaRabim, and they would throw the shuttle across the loom, and it would go all the way across. It would go four amos across the room. The Gemara says, "Wait a second, v'alo ogdo biyado. You wouldn't throw the shuttle and let go of it, because if you threw the shuttle and let go of it, it would just keep going. You had to hold on to it." Right, you had to hold on to it to bring it back. So exactly. If you had the pictures on, so you're holding on to this little string, it's going across, and then you can pull it back. So it's not an example of throwing something down on Mishnah Sarabim, because you don't let go of it. Right? I'm not sure. It says here they would throw it across, and they would have, the Gemara says, Valo Ogdo Biyodo. When you would throw it across, there was some sort of string that you would use it to hold it back. So you're not tossing anything. You're still holding on to it. Yeah. Correct, but you're not letting go, Gemara is saying. You're not letting go because you're holding on to the string. So the Gemara says, oh, could be. In Machna Leviyah. That's the case. Machna Leviyah, we just established was the Saravim. So Gemara says, Benichsia Basra. It was talking about the last thread. So when you have that last thread that you're throwing it through, you don't have to hold on to it anymore. You can just toss it all the way through and be done. So Gemara says, well, wait a second. Where are they weaving? This is Yossi's question. B'haba makom p'tor ka'azla. The loom itself is not a Rishus HaRabim. The loom itself is a makom p'tor. Right, that's Yossi, that's your question. So what are you talking about, Rishus HaRabim? There's a loom. So Gemara says, Ella, okay, fine. Shekein orge yirias zokin buchyar l'sholeim. Those who would weave the curtains, they would toss the They would toss the shuttle one to another. If someone didn't have a shuttle and someone had an extra one, he would borrow it and they would throw it to him. So Gemara says, who says they were Dalai Lamas apart? Dilma Gabi Hadadi Abi Yasfi, maybe they were sitting next to each other. So Gemara says, no, if they were next to each other, Madu Hadadi Bechefes. They could be sitting next to each other because I guess then they would be hitting each other when they threw the stuff across back and forth. So Gemara says, Dilma Shalchufe Hav Mishalchfe. Right, maybe they were just sitting staggered. They weren't right next to each other, but they were staggered. So a womb could go across, a mile could go across. We're not Dalai Lamas from each other, but we're still not next to each other, right? Vesu, and even more so, Mishali Mehadadi. Why would they be borrowing one from the other? Vatani, right, we have this, I guess, this Brisa, Hatani Luda. Rashi says Luda is the shame of a Talmud Chacham. Another gear says Levi. But Hatani Luda, when it came to the Melachas HaMishkan, it says Ish Ish Mimalachto Asherhema Osim. Each person did his own malacha. He would do his own malacha. He wouldn't use it, his friend's stuff. Right? And therefore, so we still don't have a source of where moving something for Amos from Shusarabim would be chayiv. We can't learn from anything. This the second question of that borrowing, no one borrowed. No one was tossing their needles. No one was borrowing. Everyone had their own pen. You didn't have to borrow a pen from anybody. So Elo kol arba amos v'sarabim gemar gemirulei. Gemara says in the end of the day, the idea of being maver something dal amos v'sarabim. How do you know yichayev halacha moshe misinai? It's a gemara gemirulei. What happens to be interesting is that there's some questions on the gemaras on daf vav and daf ches that use this idea of the people throwing their looms, or throwing their shuttles and throwing the needles as proofs to other answers over there. And Daf Vav and Daf Ches, Rabbi Kiva says, how can that be a proof? You see from our Gemara here that's rejected, which is a good shaila, because the Gemara in the end of the day says that it's just a halacha moshe misinai. Okay. Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Amr Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Shmuel, Mekoshes, right? The Mekoshes Eitzim Bamidbar. What did he do? Right, so Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Mikoshesh Ma'avir Arba Amos Shus Harabim Havei. What did he do? He carried four Amos Shus Harabim. That's why he was Chayev. The Masnis Latana in a Brisa we learned Tole Shava. He was Tolish. He plucked something off of from its source. So according to the first Man Damari, it was a violation of Otsa. According to the Tolish, it's a violation of Kotzer. And Rav Acha Brady of Yaakov Amar Ma'amir Hava. He gathered. He went and he gathered things. So therefore it was a violation of Ma'amer. So the Gemara asks, L'may Nafkamina, who cares what Malacha he was? End of the day, it's all called, so if he violated Shabbos, he was put to death, so be it. Why do we care which Malacha exactly? So the Gemara says, no, Lichad the Rav. We need to know which Malacha he did based for Rav. The Amar Rav, because Rav says, Matsasi Megillas, and I think we saw this Gemara before also once. Matsasi Megillas Sisarin Bnei Rav Chia. I found an old scroll that had Rav Chia's notes on it, because of Ba, and it was written in there that Isi Ben Yehuda Omer, that Isi Ben Yehuda said, Avos Malachos Arboim Chaser Achas, the Avos Malachim are 39, the Enu Chayev El Achas, and you're only Chayev one. So the Gemara says, wait a second. The Sulo, you're only Chayev one. V'hatanan, our Mishnah said, Avos Malachos Arboim Chaser Achas, that we have 39 Malachos. V'avino Bom, we asked over there, Minyan Alamali, why do you have to tell me? Just let me count. So he says, Well, I'm Rav Yochanan. Shim asa kulam behelim achad. If you did them all in one, and with one forgetfulness, nevertheless chayev kol achas v'achas, you'd be chayev 39 karbanos. So what does it mean in these notes that you're eno chayev al achas? Ema eno chayev al achas mehen. What it meant was is that there was, according to this shita, there is one malacha that you wouldn't be chayev for. You wouldn't be chayev, I guess, achatos for. The question is, they didn't know which one. Right, if you wouldn't be chayev misa for it. So basically, to say it outside, the idea is that if I know what the mikoshes violated, then I know that that is not the one malacha that you're not chayev misa for, according to Isi Ben Yehuda's notes. So therefore, I have to figure out, if I know what the mikoshes did, I can knock off one of the malachas and say that that's not the malacha that was referred to. Again, Mr. G, Isi Ben Yehuda had a notebook that said there is one malacha that you would not be chayev misa for. So I want to know which malacha that is. Knowing that the Mekoshes was put to death, whatever malacha he did, I know that that's not the malacha that you would not be chayav for. So that's so the Gemara says, right, Ema. I don't know what Ted Tvachim is. I don't know. I think your shoulder we mentioned before. We addressed that a few days ago. Rene Kahas, that's how they carried. We did that like a couple days ago. Right, part of it was a third above it, and then it was two-thirds below, and the thing was two-thirds below the shoulder, and that's how they carried. But I... I think we assume that carrying the shoulder is the malacha. Yeah, that was the, what was that, 4 or 5 days ago? Yes. Okay. Okay, so the Gemara says, so now we're trying to figure out what the idea with the Mekoshek is. So Rabbi Yehuda, Pshitalei de Mavir Chayes. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, he knocks out Mavir about carrying the Rishos Arabim. If the Mekoshek was Chayes Misa, so that's not the Malacha in Isi Ben Yehuda's notes. Umas Nisa the Brisa Pshitalei de Tolish Chayev. It's going to be Pashit for them that Tolish, that Kotzer is Chayev. Racher by Yaakov Pshitalei de Ma'amir Chayev. It's Pashit for him that it's that one's Chayev. So each of them was pashut that one malacha is not part of the suffix as to which malacha you would not be chayev, misa according to Isi Ve Yehuda. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, Tana Rabbeisa. Right, Mekoshesh Zet Slovchad. Who was the Mekoshesh? The Mekoshesh was Slovchad. V'cheinu Omer, and that's why it says in the parsha of the Mekoshesh, it says, Vayehu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar vayimtsu ish. They were in the desert and they found a man. It says ish. Ulahalanu Omer, by b'no Slovchad, it says avinu meis b'midbar. It says there was a person in the midbar, and the b'no Slovchad said, our father died in the midbar. It's the same person. So the Gemara, malahalan Slovchad, avkan Slovchad. When using the word b'midbar, saying that one place is Slovchad, so it's the other place is Slovchad. Divi Rabbi Kiva, those are the words of Rabbi Kiva. He says that Slovchad is the Mekoshesh. Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Yehuda ben Beseira says to Rabbi Kiva, Akiva, ben kach hu ben kach ato asalitin asadin. Whoa, you know, curb your tongue. One way, you know, mimonashak, you said something bad. Im kidvarecha, if you're correct that the Mekoshesh was Slovchad, hatorah kisasto, the Torah hides who it is. And you read Vatamegalo, so you're speaking Lashon Hara. The Torah doesn't tell who it is, and you're going to tell us who it is. Why are you being Megalo with the Torah trying to hide? The Imlav, and if you're incorrect that it's Mekoshesh is not Slovchad, Atamotzilah is a Losot Tzadik. Well, now you're just spreading tales about this Slovchad if it's not him. So Ella, Ha Gamar Gzeir Shava, but the Gemara says, well, how can you, Rabbi Yehuda Ben Seir, have a problem with that? It's a Gzeir Shava. Right? Tosu says, Rashi says, it's a Gzeir Shava, and therefore, Im kein locus of a Torah, the Halik Mefurish. A Gzeirah Shava is as if it's Mefurish written in the Torah. So how are you telling me, Rabbi Kiva, that you're revealing something that was covered? It's not covered, it's a Gzeirah Shava. Gzeirah Shava is revealed. So Gemara answers, Gzeirah Shava lo gamar. Right, the Gzeirah Shava, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, did not learn this Gzeirah Shava. He didn't have the Mesorah of this Gzeirah Shava. Therefore, for him, it was a problem. So Gemara asks, let's go a little further. Gemara says, Ella Mehecha Have. So if that's the case, if he doesn't have the Gzeirah Shava, so then what was the Avera that Slovchad died for? So Gemara says, from Vayaapilu Have. He was one of the people, the Ma'apilim, who after the Chetam, the Chetam Ragam, they went up, right? They went up, they went to the mountain, and they died. So Karashi says, basically, yes. Okay, so what? But Yehuda ben Beseira was upset that Rabbi Kiva revealed that he was the Mekoshesh, and now you're revealing that he's from the Ma'apilim. You're also revealing something that's wrong. You're telling me that he did something wrong. So Rashi says, Shelo hir shia kol kach chil Shabbos. Chil Shabbos, to tell somebody did a very chil Shabbos, that's really bad. To tell somebody that he had, you know, misplaced enthusiasm to go up to Eretz Yisrael, that's not so bad. Let's just continue to the dots. Kayotze b'davar ata omer, a similar case, the Pasuk says, by Aaron and Miriam, that they spoke badly about Moshe, and Miriam became tzaras. The pasuk says, it says, "Vayichar af Hashem bam vayelech." From the word bam, melamed shaf Aaron itzara. Even Aaron got tzaras. Divrei Rabbi Kiva. These are words of Rabbi Kiva. So Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says to Makiva, "Ben kachol ben kachata asid litzim etzadin in pvarecha. You're doing something wrong. Torah kisaso. The Torah doesn't reveal it, but Tamigale, and you're revealing that he got it. The imlav, and if you're wrong, atamotzi las lo sotzadik. You're spreading, you know, rumors about this tzadik." El, so the Gemara says, no, but El Haksiv Bum. Right? It says Bum. So it's revealed. So Yehuda ben Beseira says, no, Kibin Azif Alma. It's the Bum is only, Vayichar Hashem Bum just means that Hashem got angry about them both. Doesn't necessarily mean that Hashem gave them both Tzaras. Tanya commanded Amr af Aaron Nitzara, but there's a brisa that says that even Aaron got Tzaras. The Pasuk says, Vayifin Aaron El Miriam, Aaron turns to Miriam, Vine Mitzaras, and behold, she is also a Tzaras. Tana Shepana Mitzaraso. It says Vayifim in Aaron Mitzaraso. Aaron turned from his Tzaras and saw Miriam's Tzaras. Okay, we'll go a little further. Yeah. I don't know. Could be. Could be. So that goes according to, that will go according to Rabbi Akiva then. I'm not sure. We're not learning. The question on Rabbi Akiva was, why are you revealing something? No, maligning. The maligning is if he's wrong. He says, why are you revealing what's hidden? So he says, I'm not revealing anything that's hidden. It's not hidden. It's Gzeirah Shavah. Who says that? Okay. Maybe. Could be. I don't know. I noticed that the Gzeirah Shavah can only be used to actually learn halacha. I don't know. Right, it's not hidden, so bring it up. No, the maligning was if he's wrong. So it's revealed. He said, if you're right, why are you revealing something that's hidden? And Rabbi Akiva says, I am right, and it's not hidden. It's revealed.